You will know from reading the Bible yourself that it's amazing that how many times whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching, that there was some kind, that the teachings were given in some kind, in a response to some kind of an interruption, whether it was lowering a man down through the roof or whatever the case might be. But the Lord Jesus here has been speaking with his disciples. They were just like you, Christian, and me. They constantly needed him to come alongside and to encourage them and to uplift them and strengthen them. And he was exhorting his disciples to fear God alone. In other words, to reverence him alone and to live for him. And even when it went against the flow, to rely upon him to meet their every need. And it was whenever he was speaking with them that a man interrupted with a completely unconnected request. There had been a family fallout, well, over land. And this man, he comes to the Lord Jesus and he said, "Would you not tell him that he should give me that which is rightfully mine?" And as the Lord looked upon the heart of these two brothers, as it was, he knew that what was a family feud, maybe over money or land or whatever, was only a symptom of what the real problem was. It's very possible, as far as I can gather, for all I know, that whatever they had, they already had enough, or perhaps more than enough. But as the Lord looked into their hearts, as he always does, he knew that the problem here was covetousness. And covetousness in the Bible is referred to as idolatry. And he gives this very solemn warning in verse 15. He says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." And then the words that follow on are the words of my text for tonight. It says, "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He really wanted to drive home that truth. And maybe the people he was talking to were not altogether different from folk today. And when you talk like that, they think, "Well, it's all right for you, but I want." And as he spoke to them, in order to drive it home, he drew them to a particular individual who happened to be a successful businessman. Now, whether he actually was one who farmed himself or whether he had the land let out, I cannot say, but I know that things had gone well with him. And I want to say there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If every business was going very badly, then there'd be a terrible effect for you and I and for everybody else. So it is always a healthy thing to hear that businesses are going well. But the Lord, as he was speaking about this man, he knew all about the thoughts in his heart. And he spoke about this man with great concern. He's a man who was applauding himself. Probably was shrewd and had accomplished what he did accomplish through doing things very carefully and diligently, probably working hard at the same time. And externally, he seemed to be very successful. Now, this is the man that he's using here as an illustration. But he goes on to show them, show that these two men and others that were around there, to show them that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesseth, because it says in verse 20, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, not because you were good at what you did." But as I see as we go through this message, "Thou fool," for another reason. And I want to look with you this evening at the businessman who focused, but forgot. The businessman who focused but forgot. I want you to see concerning this individual, bearing in mind that we're looking at verse 15 about a man's life consisting not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I want you to see that he focused on expansion. He had had a good harvest. We love to see that there's been a good harvest. The ground had yielded well. And he said, I will pull down my barns and I will build bigger. He was going to take a major step in the industry that he was involved in. He was thinking, well, things have gone well this year. Therefore, I have every reason to believe that things will continue to go well. So we'll make a permanent change and we'll pull down the old barns and we'll put up some new ones that will be bigger. And that'll put us in good stead for next year and for the years to come. And that in itself was good enough thinking. Probably thinking to himself, when the market is right, I will sell what I have. And really it looks, and he gives words that show this, it looks as if he's landed as far as he was concerned. And you'll see that very often. And the words that this man said, you can look at it yourself. From verse 17 on down, he's constantly using the personal pronoun I. Six times. Didn't I say he was applauding himself? I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build bigger and I will say it to my soul. And it's all of this emphasis is upon self. But men and women, he did not consider that every single grain that he had in those barns was there because God gave it to him. And it is as serious as that. And it is as important as that. And when I say important as that, we need to notice these things. He's full of I and me and my and what I'm going to do. And he's thinking, well, I'm focused now upon expansion. Again, that in itself is all right. But I just want to read what it says over there in Daniel chapter 5. And the word here is to young Belshazzar, verse 23. And Daniel speaking very plainly to him. Says, but thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And then here's what I believe one of the most startling statements that was ever made to this man. It says here, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Those are searching words. Those are very solemn words. The God in whose hand thy breath is. This businessman that we're talking about, he was just, look what I've done. And I'm going to do this. And I've got great plans here and, I've done so well that I feel that I'm just going to congratulate myself a little bit. Didn't recognize that everything he had was from the Lord. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. That even brings it a little bit closer to home. Because you and I have all plans. In a sense, you have to plan for your life a certain amount in front as best you can. But Christians know every step of the way that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It says here, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Though Jeremiah had learned a few things over the years. Over there in the book of Proverbs, again in chapter 16 and the verse 1, it says, the preparation of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The word preparations there, if you have a margin Bible, you will see that it literally means the disposings. The disposings of the heart of man. And the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And how many more references could we turn up tonight if we took time to do it? And time again, as we look at ourselves and what we have, we will discover that every single thing that we have, whether it's the grain in the barn or the breath in our body, it's all from the Lord. Someone rightly said concerning this man that he cherished the gifts, but he neglected the giver. He prepared for the body, but he neglected his soul. He lived for time, but he never thought about eternity. I wonder, have you done that? You have to look after yourself in a certain degree. You have to appreciate what you get, that is true. But when we neglect the giver, neglect our soul, and neglect eternity, then we've got it all wrong. And whatever our plans are, if God has left out of our plans, then we need to stop now. Because, as I said, we've made a great error. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and the verse 17, it says, this is Paul's advice to Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That verse really summarizes what I've said already. Trust not in uncertain riches. Planning is part of life. There's nothing wrong with planning for expansion. But you will notice in all of this man's planning that God is left out of the equation. He never thought about the giver. He never thought about his soul and its great need of Christ, that it wouldn't be satisfied with what he could provide for it. And he never thought about eternity. But there's something else he never thought about. Do you remember what we said and read in Daniel chapter 5, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and how every grain in that man's shed was from the Lord? The God who gave it to him could just as easily take it all away. He could take it all away. There was someone one time who had a considerable amount of wealth, and they were concerned whenever they passed away what was going to happen to it. And they became so attached to it. And they said to someone one time, to a Christian person, they said, you know, I don't want to leave any of it. I actually knew, it was a woman actually told me that as well. An elderly woman was living in a house. And she told me, she said, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with this house whenever I die. And I says, well, you know, when we die, it'll not really be our problem. Somebody live in it. Just us. I don't want anybody to have it. I don't want anybody to have it. And I didn't say anything else then. But this person came along to the other Christian individual and he said, I don't want to leave anything. And the Christian must have been thinking fairly sharply, because they said to him, not in an arrogant way or a nasty way, they said, you know, he says, you know, none of us leave anything, but we're taken away from it all. We're taken away from it all. And folks, again, that is a very solemn thought. Here was a man who was focused upon what he could do. And while we would wish the very best for all the young people, I mean that, and there's others here who do as well, those who teach you and those who come along to the prayer meetings and pray for you and pray for you at home, we want the very best for you. Nothing else but the best. But we want you to put the Lord first. And to seek, as it says over there in Matthew's Gospel, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It says there in, if I can read Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. here's someone, and you can see that it's the King of Kings that they're talking about, because it's a kingdom of God. There's the presence of the King, and the promise of the King that all these things shall be added unto you, but especially there is the priority of the King. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And men and women, that's what you need to do tonight. That's what this man should have done. He was so caught up in what I have done and what I'm going to do. He was totally focused. There's no doubt about that. He was focused on expansion and focused upon the future. And while we would not say to anyone, don't focus in any way upon the future, what we want to say is make sure you get your priorities right. Make sure you have the Lord. Make sure that it is well with your soul. A preacher a long time ago said, the soul cannot find rest in corn. The misery of life cannot be drowned in drinking the cup of worldly pleasure. It was not what he said. I will say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I heard a man give his testimony one night, and he told how wretched he was and how he used to upset his friends when they went away fishing together, and then they called in at a certain place where they got something to eat and they got some drinks there. And while he was a married man, all he was interested in doing was he was chasing after young ladies that worked there, and that is what he spent his time doing. He didn't say this with any he wasn't proud of himself. And he says, I was a disgrace to myself and to my family. And he said, God was in absolutely none of my plans. And if my memory serves me right, he mentioned this man. God was in none of his plans. He says, God was in none of my plans, but now, folks, he's in all of my plans. I wonder what you say tonight. Would you say that God was in none of your plans? Or you can gladly say, well, whether I'm rich or poor, God is in all of my plans. Ecclesiastes 5, in the verse 10 says there, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. How that vanity was displayed in the life of this businessman. This businessman who focused but forgot. He was focused on expansion, but I want to say something else regarding this man. He was focused on how he felt at that present moment. Let's look again, please, at the passage together and look at verse 19. He said, and I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He felt good, and as far as he was concerned, life stretched away out to unlimited horizons. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. There was a person that I used to deliver coal to in Dungannon, and there was a relative of theirs who was doing just that. And he was out in a foreign country with some members of the family, and he was eating and drinking and being merry. And he was in his 40s. And out on that holiday, without any warning or any sign that there was anything wrong, just walking to the swimming pool, he just went out into eternity. He went out into eternity. Now, as far as that person was concerned, their focus on life, their focus would have been on how they felt. They felt good. But the Bible always warns us about these things, and it says, to boast not ourselves of tomorrow. It says in Psalm 39, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquiet in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. That's the same as it was for this man. You see, all that he was going to do, he was basing it upon how he felt. He says here, I've much goods laid up for many years. Things are going to be good for a very long time. And yet W.P. Nicholson, when he was preaching one night, and maybe on more occasions than one, he didn't say it just to sound morbid. But one thing about preaching, you have to be factual and honest. And he said to the people he's preaching to, he said, folks, can't remember exactly everything he said, but he spoke about people being in health and so on. He says, there's only a heartbeat. Only a heartbeat between you and eternity. And folks, that is a very, very solemn thing. Only a heartbeat between you and eternity. I wonder, have you been focusing upon the future expansion? What you're going to do? Things that in themselves are legitimate and there's nothing wrong with them, but God has been left out of your life. Maybe you didn't mean it, but that's the way it has worked out. Have you been focusing up to this moment in time on how you feel? We can understand if a person was perhaps very, very old or really, really ill, and then they would start thinking, you know, well, maybe I need to think about eternity. You'd never leave it to that time. Never leave it to that point in time. Someone told me just the other day, I'm trying to think just at the moment of exactly who it was, that a person on the phone was talking to them about someone who had died. And as they were talking on the phone to them, explaining to them the details of the funeral, they heard the clatter. And the man went in to the hall that was in the house where one person was on the phone, and his wife was just lying there dead. That's not being morbid, brothers and sisters. It's just reality. In the midst of life, we are in death. We live in a broken world. Death and sickness are always going to be with us. But God has provided grace. Grace to save us. Grace to secure us. Grace to deliver us from the grip of sin. To give us the assurance that it is well with our soul. The Bible also says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. This man wasn't really interested. And maybe you're not either. Just not really interested at this present time. Maybe you're like the businessman, you're focused. Focused on the future and on expansion. Focused on how you feel. We're feeling really good. Nothing seems as if it can stop us. But you know, this man was focused. But I said that he was focused, but he forgot. He focused on expansion. He focused on how he felt. But he forgot that one day he would be personally answerable to God. And therefore God called him a fool. That's why he called him a fool. Because he forgot that one day he would be answering to God. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You see, when you look at it, when you take a wee step back, here's a man and he seems to have reached the epitome of self-satisfaction. He's completely absorbed in material affairs, and God has, in his sovereignty, said this night, your soul will be required of you. So it shows us that in spite of all of this wealth, this man had no real say over his life. Certainly had no real say over his death. And folks, that really is the core message of this passage. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And we all have to ask ourselves, what are we looking to? What are we living for? And what are we leaning on? Are we prepared or unprepared? If God were to say tonight, thy soul, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Someone said that the epitaph over so many people's graves could be thou full. Thou full. Men and women, what a fool this man was. He was focused, but he forgot. And I want to say to you tonight, as we bring the meeting to a close, that whatever occupies your time, and I know that many Christian people are hard workers and they do their best, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But I'm saying to you, maybe you don't fit into that category and you're not yet saved. But I want to say that you need to make God your priority tonight. Matthew's Gospel, we looked at it earlier on. It's plain and it's right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what you need to do. That's what we teach the children from their fit to understand it. And before that, and then all these things shall be added unto you. You and I might have a wish list that we never get. But in God's wisdom, we will get all that we need. It's the wedding of a man one time. And he said, you know, when I was growing up, I certainly didn't get everything that I wanted. But I got all I needed. I got all I needed. And if you become a Christian tonight, I cannot say to you, you'll get everything that you want. But God will see to it that you get what you need. One of the Puritan writers said this concerning the righteousness of Christ and what he can do for those who come to him. He said, when we come to the Lord, he hideth our unrighteousness in his righteousness. He covereth our disobedience with his obedience. He shadoweth our death with his death. The wrath of God, therefore, cannot find us. That's the only position to be in. The wrath of God, therefore, cannot find us. I wonder, have you had assurance this evening? Or would you have to say, just like this man, I'm focused on so many other things, I forgot to count God in. I left God out right up until this moment in time. And if God were to call me out tonight, it would be eternal loss. I do trust that the Lord will bless the word tonight to your heart. And we know that life is brittle. James said, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. We heard the other day over the funeral in Ballymena that when Christians pass away, it's just separation for a wee while because other Christians are united with them. But when unsaved pass away, then it's not good night, it's goodbye. You need to make your peace with God tonight. We do thank you for listening and trust that the Lord will bless his word to each and every heart.